You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
It's great to have you at church this morning. I know that there's a lot away today. There's a whole lot of university open days on, and so many are away at that, but it's just great to have you here. And this morning, you got that for me? This morning is our work party report day. And some have said a couple of times, well, this really doesn't impact the church that much, and maybe we shouldn't do it. I disagree. Jesus used to send out his disciples two by two, and they would go out and do his works, or do the works that he had trained them and taught them to do. And when they came back, he would sit them down and he would ask them what they did and how they did it. And not only did it lift him up, but it gave them opportunity to testify of just the incredible power of God. And I believe that this is what... Can I have that one up? How do I get that first one? Oh, there you go. Great. I believe that this is what our report is. As a church, we have such a vital part in playing with Amari and working with Amari. And even though Amari is a totally separate organisation by design, on purpose, it is a part of our church and we are a part of Amari. And you'll see that as we go on. And so for those of you who might be new in the church, let me just explain where we went. Amari is up at the top little blue bit. You can see the yellow lines there. The big blue bit down the bottom is Lake Victoria. If you ever look at a map of Africa, and how I now understand it, the big blue lake just up on the top right-hand side of Africa is Lake Victoria. It's bigger than Tasmania. And that really is the bottom part of Uganda. And then the yellow lines show us where we drive to. Up above that is Lake Albert. Again, an inland lake, massive inland lake where they fish from. And Marita's compound is right up the very top left-hand side of that lake, right up the very, very top. So if we can go to the next one, Graham. Yes, you can do that. This is Marita's compound. Now, hard to explain because I haven't got Pastor Oxy's little yellow pointer or red pointer, but what you need to see right down on the middle, in the middle there, just where I'm pointing, you can see that. You just see one little red roof. I don't know how I can make that bigger, but I can't. That virtually is the bottom right-hand corner of the property. If you take a line straight up to the intersection of that road, across the road, down the road, and back along the bottom. Got that? Clear as mud? Anyone want me to explain that again? Up, cross, down. That's it. That is Marita's property. 40 acres of land. And that Google Earth photo was taken just after she built the first classroom. I'd love to see a Google Earth photo now of 40 acres fenced with beautiful straight fences, all the new classrooms, all the new housing that's been put on that property in the last 3 or 4 years. Again, she's done an amazing job there. And as we picture that photo, I want you to remember that for when we get to the end, because I've got some photos from the roof of the compound just to show you what else is there. And we said to Marita, get a sign made, Marita, and make certain it's a good sign, something that really stands out and looks professional. This is a professional sign in Kampala. And this is a sign just on the side of the road. If you drove fast, you wouldn't see it. Well, you can't drive fast. The roads are too potholed. But this is a little sign that just says where to go. And this is what everybody who comes to Amari sees for the first time. And it's just a brilliant sign. When you see it after you've driven for 8 hours, you just think, fantastic, we're here. And then you come to the gates. And these are the gates that the work party did, not this year, but the year before. And the staff, the work team there, the local team, have just got such pride in the place that even before we'd got home to Australia last year, they had engraved it and put this welcome to Amari on it. And they just love the thought that they have a compound, that they have massive gates, that they are secure. And they have put welcome to Amari on the three main gates that surround the property. So don't know which way you enter in the future, you're going to be welcomed into Amari. And then this is Marita and Jazz. And this is off her Facebook. And Marita is homegrown. She went through Oxley College. She was, after going to Teachers College, one of our teachers Her passionate vision from the age of 10 was to be a missionary in Africa, sown into her by her mum, by her grandmum, and by many others. And she tells an incredible story of just the vision that God placed upon her. And so she went across to Uganda, first off to be a teacher to local children for two SIL families, came back, went back into school, got her Master's of Education and a number of other degrees, and then taught again at Oxley College for a while until she went back and over a number of years caught the vision to start her own school. School back up into the area of Belusia where she first started, where she had a passion for the children that were orphaned, the children that were vulnerable, a very poor area. The children there, a lot of their families have AIDS. A lot of them don't have parents anymore. They're living in grass huts with maybe 20 people. Just an incredible thing. And so that was her passion. And I would say now, without a shadow of a doubt, Marita calls that home. When she comes here, she's visiting. When she goes back there, she's home. And I can understand that because when I drive onto the property, and I've been four times now, I feel like I'm home. And it's just such a beautiful way of living. Even without all the mod cons, it's just such a precious thing. And so I honour her. They call her over there Madam Marita. Now, we couldn't do that here because that would have a different connotation. But Madam Marita over there is such an honour. And I actually see Marita in years to come being like Mother Teresa. The impact that she is having in her community, far and wide, is incredible. She can drive 30, 40 minutes away into a little village and they'll see her car and the kids will come out and shout, Madam Marita, Madam Marita, Madam Marita. And she really is making a major difference. And such a precious lady with an incredible vision and one that I think we can be proud to be supporting and know that we are doing something to impact lives and impact a community. This is the team that went with us this year. And again, from the left, Jeanette and Doff, they're not to be made fuss of today, but they're sitting at the front, and please make fuss of them. Starting at the back, we have Doug Willett. You'll hear from Doug in a little while. That's Marita's uncle and has had a massive part to play over the years with Marita and obviously Joyce's brother. Dave Stewart, myself and Chris, Ross Stewart, been with us for the last three work parties, Rob Howth. And then starting from the right back, Bill and Joyce, Paula, Rita and Jazz, Olivia, Elise, Nicola Bartlett. She's in England at the moment. She was there working with Marita and stayed on with us and then went over to England. Talia and then Jill. And so can I say I came back, I think, and said to you on the first week that God put us together as a team. And one of the things that stood out to me about this team is that we were fitly joined together and that you couldn't have scripted a better team as far as gifts and talents. We had not one little bit of bickering, no fighting. Well, Chris and I might have had a little one. No, we didn't. Just saying that quickly. Just joking, Chris. It was an incredible team. And, you know, when you look back when we first started this process, which was a year ago, when we launched next year's or this year's work party, we had, I think, 23 or 24 interested people put their name down and finally ended up with 16. And, you know, we don't know who's going to put their name down. We don't choose people because of their gifts and talents or what they can and can't do. We just believe that God is going to put a team together. And I mean it, this was a united team. It was a brilliant team. It worked together. We loved each other. I watched people come together today and just giving each other hugs as they see each other for the first time since back. And it's just an incredible thing. And so as we talk about the team, and there's going to be plenty of photos, we might not see everybody doing things, but just remember that we were a team and what we achieved was because we were a team. And I honour them. I honour God and I honour the way that we can work together as one in such a united fashion, which demonstrated not only God's love in us, but it demonstrated something brilliant to the community around us. So let me just give you a quick overview of the trip, and then I'm going to ask some to come up and speak. The trip, basically, Chris and I and Ross and Jill went in a couple of days early to buy all the supplies and all the things. We're trying to make things a little bit easier now, and we're getting some understanding of how to do things quicker. And then the main team arrived in on the Sunday. On the Monday, we started our journey up to Belusia. And on the way up, we stopped and bought some green groceries. And this is one of the little markets on the road, about an hour and a half out of Kampala. You can't buy fresh fruit and vegetables where we are, and so we need to stock up. And most of the fruit and veggies only last about a week and a half or 2 weeks. Next year will be better because we now have electricity for a fridge and a freezer. But that's where we bought our stuff, and that was really the first insight for the work party into just how the locals work and how the locals live. And you can see them here bartering and bargaining. And you know, my wife is not a good bargainer or a barter, but man, she does a good job up there. And I wouldn't like to be anywhere near her when she's doing that. The first day first night, we stayed at a place called Masindi, which is virtually the end of the bitumen road before you hit the dirt road. And so we went from three-star accommodation to two-star accommodation. And then when we hit Marita's, it was one-star accommodation. Well, maybe half a star if you're a Robin Liv living in the grass hut. Well, maybe no star if you want to really look at it like that. And these are cute little houses, just each with a bed in it and a sort of a shower if you're lucky. So on arriving on the Tuesday afternoon at the work party or at the compound, the girls set about putting all their supplies away in the kitchen and getting ready for our first meal, which was lunch. And the guys went out, or guys and girls went out onto the compound. Now, you'll remember from what we said, our main project this year was to electrify the place, to put a solar farm on the place, which meant that we had to build a fence around a compound that had been cleared for us. This compound, big enough to take 8 stages of panels as the property continues to develop, with the aim that Marita will never have to get power off the grid, that she will always have power because of God providing it for her. And that's a big thing. So this first photo just shows us getting close to the compound. The building behind that photo, or behind the people there, is the new classroom that's being built at the moment, a classroom that will be ready for the start of school next year. And again, I know that there's some here that have provided money for that classroom. And again, as you see just what God is doing there, the homemade bricks that Marita's made, there's still 16,000, I think, there stacked ready. When Bill and Joyce came back yesterday, I saw a photo, and that building now is up to roofline. All the windows are in, and it's going well. So this is where we started. The next photo just shows you starting to prepare the pads to put the solar array on. Now, it's not solar on the roof. It's solar on the ground. It's like a solar farm, which is far easier to work on, far easier to look after, and, of course, you can cook goats if you want to. You just put them in there, they touch the wire, and you have goats cooked already for you. I had to try and explain to the locals that it was dangerous in there. And so over the time, I said, you come in here and you touch everything and you go to heaven straight away. And so they were finally getting it. You'll see a great sign that we wrote in English. They can't read English, that they shouldn't go in. And so Ross Stewart was in charge of this part of the job, laying the pads. I think others helped him build the blocks. And you'll see later that you've never seen a more straighter array in all your life. This thing, it was done in a scientific fashion. Okay, just continuing to, you can see it's like anywhere where there's council workers. A lot of people watching and only one or two working. And so just continue to work around the solar array there. We've got about 5,500 photos, so it's very hard just to put the photos together. You can see the fence starting to be built, and where the guys are digging there, thank goodness for the local men. They're building the shed that was to house all the electronic gear, the inverters, the batteries, etc. So you'll see that shed, and those two bits of steel sitting up are the bits of steel that are holding or will hold the equipment. And just to continue on into seeing the shed being built, the fence being built, and again, I'm just trying to show you what an amazing team we had. Thank goodness the team that we had building the fence this year took on from last year's team and the year before, and they kept the poles straight. That would have been a real worry if those poles weren't straight. Well done, Dave and Rob. Did a great job there. I was going through all these photos, and I can't believe how many photos of backsides that we have. In fact, I was going to show you some photos of the ladies painting, but they're censored. They would have been all pixelated. So you just got to believe that there were some things being done. So I'm not going to say who that was, Liv, but what are you laughing at, Jeanette? So just the fence being done, and finally the barbed wire, and continuing just to see a little bit more. Then this is the start of the shed that houses all of the equipment. We took over with us, or we freighted over a 53-kilo battery manager, and then in our luggage we took the inverters and all of the switching equipment. You'll see a photo in a minute. Again, I think I worked out about 400 kilos of equipment and things that we took over. So everybody that went were allowed to take about 7.5 to 8 kilos of clothing. Undies and singlets and socks don't weigh much, I can tell you. But the rest of it was for all the work party. And then we start to see the array being built, and the next photo shows you the first array being finished. And that was just such an exciting thing to see how quickly those panels went on, to see how straight they were. Look, we just stood in awe of the straightness. We did, didn't we, Doff? Ross, didn't we? It was a good thing. And again, thanks to Ross. And then we come to the shed. And the guys, the local guys, this started to look like a bit of a mosque, I reckon, by the time they were finished. I just thought we were going to build a little tin lean-to, and that we were going to put some equipment in there and to keep it safe and keep it out of the rain. But when I said to the locals, we want to build a shed and this is the size we want to build it, they went to it and they built this beautiful structure. And I mean beautiful structure. We couldn't have done it half as good as what they did. They took so much ownership, so much joy in what we were doing. And I don't know how many times throughout the time that we were there, one of the locals would come up and say, thank you for serving us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're doing. They just loved the thought that we were there, working with them and doing something that maybe they couldn't do, but that we were doing it for them. And then this is a photo of the final look of the solar panel, the shed, the fence, and the work that's there. Looking inside, you see the shed, the gate next to it, and then we get inside the gizmos. This is Doff and Jeanette. Jeanette, fantastic PA to Doff. Doff would say, where are those clips? Immediately they'd come out. Where's that wire? Immediately they'd come out. I wish my wife was like your wife. Can I come home to lunch tomorrow? So here you see the inverter on the left, battery manager in the middle, and that's Australian design battery manager. They use it for the Outback, and Doff ensures me that it's the best that you can buy in the world. So praise God for Australia, I reckon. And then again, the batteries. We bought the batteries and the panels in Kampala. And that was, again, thank you to just the support of so many people. This is the battery manager and the whole thing finished. And one of the things that I love about this system and love about the way that Platinum Solar designed it and supported us in it is that it's actually managed back here in Australia. Everything that you see there was built in Australia, designed in Australia, built in Platinum Solar's factory down in Croydon here, made certain that it was working and then taken over, with the exception of those batteries there. You see Doff sitting on his special little box, and he's got that computer there. Marita, anytime, can plug that computer in for us, and Doff and his team can manage it, adjust it, fix it back here. And that's just an amazing thing. So we're so thankful for their support and what they're doing. And there's the photo of the solar array. I hope you're seeing those well enough. And then this is the incredible sign. So it works. No one's dead yet. Don't you reckon that's a great sign? I wanted to get some professional ones made, but I like that one now. It just suits Marita's sign at the front gate, I think, don't you? So some of the other things that we did in the work party, we finished so early in what we did that the team was just excited about do other things. And so we had panels over from previous little things that Marita had got solar for. And so we put panels on work party kitchen that's there that runs the existing 12-volt fridges and freezers. And I'll show you a photo of that. We also put panels onto the new students' kitchen so that they had lights and power in there. So every building and every room now has lights and now has two power points, which, as I said when I came back, is now the most expensive phone charging system in the world. This is a photo of people just bludging and lying down on the job. So these are moving panels from other buildings to these buildings. You'll see them again in another photo. But what you need to know, that might look safe up there, but the pitch of that roof is so steep that they could have slid at any time, and the tin is so thin that it's like alfoil. And so you made certain that you had a lot of body on the roof to hold you there. And Dave and Rob did a great job with that. This is inside Marita's office at the moment, and we're just starting to work around redoing all the wiring, bringing it up to Australian standards. And that means putting some tape around them. You think I'm joking, don't you? Occupational health and safety was a major part of what we did. Have a look at this photo. Let me take you back to the other photo. We had a ladder, us guys, because we didn't want to fall off. But for others, it's not that important. And so the girls got about painting the rooms, and they were the existing classrooms, and they were not disgusting, but they had a lot of blue tack and had been used quite extensively by the existing teachers, and they just needed a pretty up. And you've never seen teachers smile so much and have so much pride as to come back into a classroom that is freshly painted and just to know that it looks fresh and clean and nice. And these girls just worked awesome. They had to not only paint the room, but they had to first of all pull everything off, clean all the blue tack off, and build themselves some equipment to stand on, because we wouldn't lend them our ladder. Little Talia, she did an awesome job, and we put her up the top because she's the lightest, and therefore if she fell, it wouldn't hurt her as much. One of the other jobs we did, we took over a whole lot of clothes. Can you tell me what the company is? Pumpkin Patch. Give us all of their seconds, or give Amari and the mission organisations all of their seconds. And so, I don't know, I think we took over about 200 kilos of Pumpkin Patch clothing that was seconds. Last year we did it, this year we did it. And again, just an amazing job. And so Paula and a team did a whole lot of work in sorting them, putting them into sizes. And then great joy comes the day when we can start to distribute it. So every kid in the school gets clothing, and then the staff for their children, and then we give the rest to the local villagers. And here's a photo of a child. And they are just so excited. Someone asked what the little dot is on their head. If you've been good at school, you get a dot, and because their heads are shaved, that's the best place to put it. Okay, and so a sticker, yeah, a little sticker. So that's where they put their stickers. And you see them in the villages after school, all walking around with their stickers on. Here's another little guy. And you see he's got a pair of undies there. one of the ladies in our church, I think every shopping week, bought a packet of undies. So we took over enough undies for all of the children. And you might think, undies, why would you do that? Well, they don't have them. And when their pants get ripped or torn, then obviously you're looking at butt cheeks. So it's just, again, an exciting thing. And they just feel so proud. And when we started to go and visit some of the sponsor families, and the kids would run into their little hut, and you don't know where they keep anything because it's so small, but they would come out proud as punch with their new clothes on. And the parents are just so proud that their children have got brand new clothes. So just a great thing. One of the other things that happens at work party is food. Some of us would say probably the most important thing. I agree. And Chris and Jill and the ladies, just an amazing team of cooking for 20 of us in conditions that wouldn't be like our home. No Thermomix. How do you work without a Thermomix? And so, again, I don't think we could have had better food. We all came back fatter than what we went, and, well, most of us did, except for those that got dysentery. Doug. Poor Doug. He'll talk in a minute. You're not sharing about that, are you, Doug? No. And, of course, just distributing the food. One of the things that... you've got to be over there is you've got to be the master of invention. And when you go with people like Ross and Dave Stewart, who are just so brilliant in their mechanical minds, that if you need something, they'll fix it, make it, get it going. And Dave and Rob wouldn't lend their ladder to us. That's to Ross and I. And we were getting very, very sad. Please be sad for us. They just wouldn't share. Really, really horrible they were. And so Ross said, well, why don't we make our own ladder? Then they wanted our ladder because it was better than their ladder. And so here's Ross and I. We spent a whole day making a ladder. It was wonderful. Well, you've got to find nails. That's hard. You've got to find a drill bit that's not broken. That's hard. You've got to find the timber. That's hard. One of the reasons for showing you that photo is that the men's group this year put about $1,200 into power tools, battery power tools. And you've never seen faces of guys light up so much as the locals when they saw these battery tools and what they could do. And I would suggest, Joyce, they're still, Bill, they're still using them, are they? They okay, Bill? They haven't broken them yet? They're going well. So there's our ladder. You should be, oh, mate, that's to dream for. That is the best ladder in Uganda. The only problem is it takes three people to carry it. But it's a great ladder. Okay, work in the school with the children, and just to hear them singing some English songs and learning some English songs, and then the children running around afterwards outside in the classroom singing their songs. Here's a great photo. This is Doug, and Doug's going to come and speak in a minute. Doug is my Duracell man. Doug did a marathon while we were there, wheeling and wheeling and wheeling dirt. Now, for some reason, that's what Doug did. He did that job. He worked with the locals, and thinking back and looking back at what Doug did, he achieved an amazing amount. But more than that, he probably connected more with the locals than most of us did, because he dug dirt with them, he wheeled dirt with them, he dumped dirt with them, he spread dirt with them. And even the dirt that he wheeled and he dug and he dumped and he spread, because it's Uganda, he dug it again and dumped it again because it was in the wrong spot. They work very differently to us, and I mean that. They will move dirt to a spot and then find it's in a spot where you want to do something, so they move it again. But that's part of it. One of the other jobs we did was we slashed their oval, the oval that we built last year. Because the fence is up now, the cattle can't get in and the goats can't get in, so the grass is up to about here. And because of all the building work that's happening and because of them having to clear a compound for us, they didn't have time to slash the grass around the oval and around the property a little bit. And so One of the things that we did at the end before we left was to get the oval back into shape so the kids could play soccer. And you've never seen people mowing grass like that before. It hurts your fingers. It hurts every part of your body. I don't think there's anything good about doing that except for practicing your golf swing. And here's a photo of a precious young lady, Deb Dixon. Deb wasn't part of our work party, but Deb was at the work party last year and this year. And Deb went across for 18 months to assist Marita and to further her own understanding and education in linguistics. Remarkable lady because she learnt the language and she's learned how to write the language, and she started to translate books into the local language for the children. Unfortunately, Deb fell sick while we were there, and it was felt wise that she should come back and make certain that her body is top shape. And what Deb's going to do in the future, I don't know, but she certainly was a great support to Marita and also the locals. And when I saw her over the last week before she left to come home, every night was a party at someone else's house or some church or some group that she connected with. And it just showed me how much she connected and how much she got a part of the local work. And so I honour her. And then there's a photo of Bill and Joyce. And this one I took off Marita's Facebook just 2 days ago. An amazing couple. I could have got lots of photos of Bill and Joyce. Most of the photos of Bill were standing over, dictating and telling us what to do. Joyce was always reading to Jazz and looking after Jazz. But I got this photo because I want to show you an amazing couple. 75 years old, stayed back an extra 4 weeks after us to look after Jazz so that Marita could come back here. Their incredible love for what is happening there is an amazing thing. And I just honour them. I really do. I honour them for what they've done in raising Marita. I honour them for what they do in being grandparents. And just the heart that they have for what is happening over there. And I know that as Joyce is called Mother Marita and Bill is called Father Marita, the locals love them. That's how you say it. He's the father of Marita, so he's Father Marita. They love them because of just their incredible input into Marita and into the Amari. And then we come to the kids. Everyone loves the kids. And I grabbed this photo because Rick, we don't see a lot in some of the work party photos because he was taking photos all the time. And so he's behind the photos that we're seeing. But one of the things that stood out to me when I was there is just watching how kids soften people and how the kids break us down. And, you know, we would be sitting in our little hut having morning tea or lunch, and you'd look out and here's Rick hanging around with the kids, smiling. And, well, if he was here, I would do some of his actions. He was acting like an ape and a gorilla. He polished one of the cars so they could see themselves in the reflection. And just kids melt you. And they just loved Rick. Just kids eating. And then there's so many photos. We have over 5,000 photos, and so many of them are kids. And when we first did our first report back a couple of years ago, it was easy because we only had 30 or 40 kids. I could show you them all. Now there's 110 children there, and you just can't show them all. So you just have to get the photos that are sent to you in regard to the sponsoring children. This is Henry. Henry is my favourite little boy. If you can have favourites, he's my favourite. First year I went over with Bill 4 years ago, Henry was a little boy, very small. He'd had malaria really bad and they didn't know whether he was deaf and dumb. And the only thing that he liked doing was kicking a ball. And so Bill and I, 4 years ago, would just kick a ball for him. And every time you come, Henry's got bigger. His teeth have got bigger. That gap in the middle has got bigger. And he smiles and he is just the most beautiful little boy. And so there's Henry. Don't you love that photo? The clean eyes, the happy faces. And if I took that photo out and I showed you a photo of a child coming out of one of the local villages, you would see the marked difference. Amari kids, their eyes glint and their eyes gleam. Their teeth are beautiful. They have a purpose. They have a vision. They have a sense of love. They have a sense of being well looked after. And guys, if you're supporting a child, you should know that you're making a mammoth difference. This is a guy called Sunday. Now, please excuse that I've got a photo of him without his top on, but it was raining that day and his top got wet. Sunday should not be in school, according to the teachers, because he can't learn. And Marita's got a great video of Sunday writing with his feet. And he's writing his letters. He rubs them out about a dozen times because he can't, or he hasn't got it straight, or so he thinks. His writing's better than my writing. Now, that wouldn't be hard, but his writing is better than my writing. He is just the most amazing little boy. Yep. Huh. Fantastic. He's just learned to feed himself. He's got this little finger that, with his arm. Wow. I love the way the kids interact with him. When they go to get their porridge or the food, the kids are not selfish. They'll carry his cup, they'll carry his plate. And we were giving out snakes. Chris took over a couple of bags of snakes and we gave each child a snake. And little Sunday picked it up with his little finger. And man, it was just exciting to watch. This is an amazing little kid who, in the world's eyes in Uganda, would not be in school and would be an outcast. And yet at Marita's school, he's somebody. He's Sunday. One of the great joys is just before we go home, the kids put on a cultural dance for us. And we work hard, and in the last 2 or 3 days we try and make certain we have time to enjoy and smell the roses and just take back a little bit. And these are the kids just doing a cultural dance. And I've seen it 4 times now. It goes for a long time. I wonder how they keep doing it. Sweat drips down their faces. The dress skirts drop down. They pull them up. The things they have around their feet fall off. They never miss a beat. They keep dancing. I wish I knew what they were doing. But it's an incredible dance, and they honour us with that. And the teachers and the staff get into it too. They just love it. Every time there's music, every time there's dancing, the teachers get in. Just another photo of kids. Last year was the same. This year they're doing one part of their alphabet. I can't tell you, is it G for glasses? G for glasses, it means something in their language, but they get pipe cleaners and the children in this class walk around with their pipe cleaner glasses on all day. Here's a photo of Paula. This little baby is only, how old? Three weeks old. And, of course, all the gooing and the garring of just this little baby coming in. One of the staff's sister came in to show us her baby, and it stopped every lady from painting. It just wasn't good, I can tell you. I got a photo of Dave and Talia here. Talia, how old's Talia, Dave? 12. Talia is 12 years old, and normally we wouldn't take children on a work party because of just the possible complications. Maybe they can't handle it. Dave said to me early in the piece, would Talia be able to come? And I thought about it for a while and I thought, man, that opens up a precedence for future work parties and, you know, is it going to be worthwhile? But let me tell you, Talia was just a delight. She worked hard. She worked hard as anybody else. She wasn't a problem. But the thing that I put that photo up for was just the richness of seeing a dad and a daughter have time together. That one touched me more than you can imagine because she will have an experience with her dad that she's never going to have again. Brilliant thing. Move on quickly. We went to church. We went to two churches. We went to church at one of the fishing villages, which was just under a tree. They were very proud that we were coming and they put out lots of chairs. And when church started, it was like our church. There wasn't many people here. And it was like our church. When the music started, people started to come in. And by the time church finished, it was full of kids. And this was the church that was running on Marita's property, which we encouraged her to move off the property for a number of reasons. One, it was becoming a distraction on the property, but two, we wanted the impact to be in the village, or she wanted the impact to be in the village. And so the three guys up the front there are staff members of Marita. They run this church, and by doing it in the village, the children come, the parents come, and it's making a difference in that village. That was a fantastic experience. We reckon that's where you got malaria. Do you remember that time? Doff came back and he went into hospital immediately. He got back and he was within about 8 hours of dying from malaria. And we won't say why he got it, but naughty boy. Okay, and then the second church we went to for the second Sunday was down near Belusa Town. And again, it doesn't look like sort of a structure. It was made out of just pious reading. Inside, again, this was their second service. It didn't start off with many people, but by the time we were finished, there would have been over 100 in there. And it was just a fantastic experience. And it was an interesting church to be in because it didn't seem to have a finish time. And they kept on going and they kept on going and they kept on going until finally we said we had to go, and would they like to take up tithes and offering? They took up tithes and offering very quickly. I've got to move quickly now. Fishing village, rest and relaxation. We, on a Sunday, would have meals at Nile Safari, which is just a beautiful place on the Nile, about half an hour away from Rita. And for the first time ever that I've been there about 7 or 8 times now, there was a herd of elephants. This year we added to the work party a safari at the end. And these are some of the friends that we saw on our safari. And then, of course, the Murchison Falls. So what's the outcome of the work party? Well, there's electric hot water for the kettle now. There's a toaster. There's lights around the compound, which is just amazing to be able to see in the hallway lights. In the kitchen, lights instead of having to have a headlamp on just to go and find something. And then in one of the huts where we used to sit, lights. So much has been achieved. And as Marita said to me the other day just before she left, she was just starting to get used to having power and all the things that she could do. So looking now from the top of a roof, you will see a new toilet block, the accommodation huts that have been built, and the next one shows you the solar panel on the kitchen on the left-hand side. Looking out, you'll see to the right on this one, just some bricks on the left. That's 16,000 bricks that are ready for the next building. And then looking backwards towards the solar farm, the new classroom, you'll see what we've done there. And then the last one along the boundary fence, again, classroom, new kitchen behind there. And then the furthest building on the right is a toilet block, which has just been built for the students. And again, it's a majestic affair, I can tell you, that toilet block. One of the things that Marita does that you often hear about and read about in her newsletters is medical needs. And this is a photo of a little boy that had club feet. And a number of you put money in towards supporting this boy and his operation. This is him walking now without club feet, and that's a brilliant thing. This is a little boy that had a mammoth tumour. A little boy or girl, I can't remember. Girl, Chris? Boy. Had a mammoth tumour and growth on his face, and this is after his first operation. He has another 2 operations to go, and again, the medical support is fantastic. This is a little girl that was being assessed at the time, and money has been raised for her to have her operation on her face. And then finally, I want to show you this one because when we go over, people often capture a little bit of vision, and you talk to people in your work, you talk to people that you mix with, and a group of ladies that Chris was working with put money together to support somebody over there. And this little girl has hydroencephalitis. She's stiff, she can't move, and she needs to have a shunt put in her brain. And hopefully the money that's been raised will do that, and that she will be able to walk and live a normal life. This is the staff and students of Marita, and then finally the staff, the students, and the work party. And we'll do that again next year as we go. But just again, an exciting thing. And then, of course, the work party. So I've taken a little bit of time, but I think it's important that you hear that. I'm wondering if Elise Mason would like to come. Elise, if you'd like to come. And I've just asked a number of them just to come quickly, probably people you might not know. I want them just to share a little bit of the experience. Elise's parents belong to our church. They support two children. And Elise was able to go and visit them. Thank you, Elise.
I'll just keep it nice and quick and short for you. I could honestly stand here for hours and tell you about how this experience has changed my life. One thing that I've done since getting home is applied to go to university to study international development. And the reason why I've done that is because it's really easy to be overwhelmed with all the need in the world and everything that's wrong. And I mean, you see what's going on in like Iran at the moment and Iraq, and it's kind of scary, but like, what can we do? And then I look at stuff like what Marita's done, and one person can make such a difference. Like, if she didn't take that step of faith, if she didn't go out, if she didn't follow what God was asking her to do, like, all these lives would not be changed. Like, you see the photos of these kids who are having operations paid for them. Like, now they have hope in a God. Like, otherwise, why would they even think that there was a God? And when I got to go and visit our sponsored kids, it wasn't just my family supporting their kids to go to school. Like, it changes the whole family's life. And I called Mum and Dad, I think it was the day before we went out and did these visits, and I said, I want to do something to help them. Like, what can we do? Is it okay if I tell them that we want to buy them a bike? And the first family that we went to, the living conditions were just horrible. There was six of them, nearly seven of them, about to be living in this tiny little mud hut with a grass roof, and the walls were all cracked, and it was just shocking. And I told them that we wanted to buy them a bike, and the father's head went back, and his eyes began to water, and he couldn't comprehend how big that was for him. Like, this wasn't just going to be a bike for his family. This was going to change their whole life. Like, now they're going to be able to go to the shops instead of spending hours and hours walking there and hours walking back. Now they can just go for a 10-minute ride down there. And when we got home, I told Mum and Dad, and we said, well, maybe we could do something more to them, like more for them. What should we do? And I said, I was kind of like putting my big expectations out there. Wasn't really expecting anything to come back. But I said, well, we could buy them some farmland. And sure enough, Dad sent an email and we're buying them some farmland. And like, that's not just going to be farmland for them. That means that their whole future's changed. Like, now they've got work. Now they've got steady income. Like, now they can begin to dream. And the thing is that if I didn't go on that experience, if I didn't figure out that me, my family could make a difference, then they would never get that. So if you're sponsoring a kid, if you ever feel like you are called to have some kind of impact in some kind of way, your money goes so much further than you think. Like, our money is like, it's like what, $500-$600 for us to buy a block of land in Australian dollars? That's going to change their whole future. So I guess that's the one thing that I really wanted to share, that if you don't have a sponsor kid, then I definitely encourage you to get one, because it's just going to change so many lives. Yeah, thanks.
Wondering if Rob and Liv Howth would like to come out. Rob and Liv, I don't think sponsor a child, or maybe they do, but their family, do you? You do? Oh, good on you. They lived in a grass hut, and they had an exciting time.
Thanks, Gray. You were talking before about the accommodation, Gray. It was more than five-star living. I were living in, because of the holes in the roof. It was probably a couple of hundred star, really. It was, I think Bill and Joyce were telling us we had the honour of being the first non-Africans to stay in that hut as well, so we sort of felt rather honoured. Although we did notice when you saw the photo of the school before, you couldn't actually see the hut we were staying in. That's how much Gray and Chris and everyone loved us. We got sent to, I think, about 300 or 400 metres down the road, it felt like at times. But I got involved with all this really because Liv, she came home a couple of years ago and said, oh, I want to sponsor a child. And I went, yeah, whatever, I'm not too fussed. Then she came home about a year ago and said, I want to go to Uganda. And again, I sort of went, yeah, I'm not fussed, whatever, fine. You know, rightio, whatever goes on. But really did turn out to be one of the best things I've ever done really was better than any holiday at all, well and truly. I can cut my talk short here because Gray's gone through most of the things we did. The solar power, wiring up everything, painting the classrooms, cutting the grass, which was my favourite because I got to play soccer afterwards with the kids. So for me, that was great fun. Solar into the kitchen, as Gray mentioned. He didn't mention the first thing we did, but that was to go and stick a whole load of drinks in the fridge and block it up, so Marita can't have any food in there, but we got cold drinks at least. Gray touched on also working with the locals, and I really think Doug did get to do that. I felt like I got to do it as well, especially thanks to working with Dave, because Dave is the second time he's been there, so he knew a few of the guys. But out there working away, digging holes, putting in fences, everything like that, you really get to know the locals, get to talk to them, find out about their life, what they do, what makes them tick. Yeah, great fun. Hanging out with the kids. As much as I hate to say this in front of my family, I did quite enjoy that part. For those that know me, I don't tend to associate with anyone under about the age of 25, really, generally. I'll get picked on for that one. As you saw, Henry's smile, that was just a magnificent. Little Henry would walk around with the most stern face. And the moment he saw you looking at you, you just get that massive smile going on in the wave. You couldn't help but have a laugh with that, have a laugh at him. Mind you, though, hanging out with the kids was a bit of an interesting time because they just want to grab hold of your hands and touch you the whole time, which I find hard to deal with. And plucking the hair on you, I don't know what it is, but they love plucking the hair. And if you're a bit like me and you've got a fair bit of hair, you can stand there and next year you've got 10 kids all there plucking hairs out of your legs. And I think 3 weeks there, I still wasn't quite used to that. So I don't know why. But it was great fun hanging out with them. Chris, I think they like to have a fair bit of fun with you. If you haven't seen Chris Nelson over there, generally this is about the view you get of Chris with her iPad because that's just all she does. She walks around with her iPad all the time taking photos. And it got to a stage there where the kids at the school started imitating Chris and they'd get bits of cardboard and they'd all walk around then. That's fair dinkum. We'd sit down having lunch or dinner and there, you turn around, there's about three or four kids all with bits of cardboard all going like this at you. You know? I don't know what they think of Chris, but they must think it's part of her or something like that. She can't live without it. And again, hanging out with the kids, you get to, as Elise said, you get to see what the impact you do with them and how they take that on board. As Gray mentioned, they did the dancing for us, and I was sitting there, and the whole time I'm watching the kids and I'm watching Dave Stewart, and the little girl that his family sponsors, she's dancing away, but she kept, Dave's still watching, yes, he's liking it very good. And she danced, but then she kept going back to Dave, and that connection, you could see that connection they had going on was quite amazing, really was. And lastly, I've got to mention the aerobics Amari style, Olivia. As Gray mentioned, Rick cleaned up the sides of the cars, and the kids love it, and the kids get in front of the cars, and they're just there dancing away, watching their reflections. No. That was it, Gray, no more. My wife, being the way she is, she got up there and danced with them. So every morning about 10:30 breakfast time for the kids, we called it aerobics and Mari style. Liv was up there dancing away with the kids. It was an absolute classic. I think, Chris, you got some video? You should have shown that one, Graham. That would have been good. Just some of the other experiences going there as well. Going to church. As Graham mentioned, the church goes far too long. I don't go to church myself. Generally when I come, I tell Gray 1 hour. I was raised as a Catholic, so 45 minutes is generally church for us. Gray said to me, it's all right, Rob, we're going to church 1 hour. I've told them 1 hour. 1 hour and 43 minutes and we're still sitting there and there's no movement whatsoever. Yeah, it really was interesting. But it was a great experience. Yeah, I know. 11:30, let's get this done. But the other things you do as well, the safari lodge was great. That was a great time to hang out. Going on the safari, those photos, great show, aren't something off the internet. They're the photos that we took while we were there. So if you think that's not really what goes on, that is what goes on. And lastly for me, visiting the families was, that was amazing to go and see them. And we really saw the different perspectives. The little girl that Liv and I sponsor, her family is poor as poor can be, I'd say. Even by Ugandan standards, that was, the opposite end of the spectrum. We went and visited the little boy whose family that my mother-in-law, Judy Percy, who they sponsor. Completely other end of the spectrum. Still poor, very much so. But, you know, to see how much it means to them and to sit down with the father, and he couldn't thank us enough. We're going, mate, it's not us, it's mother-in-law. You know, we're just here on her behalf. But he could not stop for, I don't know, probably 30, 40 minutes telling us how much it meant to them and how much they appreciated it. My last little bit is, for those who are thinking of going, put your hand up and do it. I don't have any trade background. Those who know me, I'm a policeman, so I thought I'm going to be useless over there, but live wanted to go, so I'll go along. I had a great time, really was. Very much fun. If you want to think about it, go ahead and do it. I highly recommend it.
Graham asked us, each of us at a work meeting before we went, why we wanted to go to Amari, and my answer to him was that it would be good to give back and to also see what it was like on the ground. And knowing the plans that we had, that I pretty much made it clear to Graham that I wanted to dig a hole. I was very used to digging holes and I wanted to dig one in Uganda. So my request was granted very early on in the trip when Gray asked if I could help move some dirt. And I helped move some dirt from one section a bit to the left, about 4 metres, because it was in the way. And I remember thinking, well, I feel like I'm at home. It's just the same. In Uganda, Australia, we move dirt from one pile to another. I also got to dig quite a few holes for the fence post, which was really great. I also observed Graham just standing around, leaning on a crowbar, which he did quite well, just looking busy. And it was interesting just looking at the photos and listening to Graham. I just remember clearly, and I can't believe I didn't write this in here, I cannot believe, it is actually a miracle that they got the solar panels down on the ground, because I cannot believe with the amount of intelligent men that we have in our group, how long it took them to work out which way the sun rose, which direction. There was getting up at 5:30 in the morning to see the sunrise. Which way did it come? Were we south of the equator? Were we north of the equator? Should it be this way? Should it be that way? I reckon it was a good 5 days, and even once we had it down, they were still discussing whether it was right. Fingers crossed. It blew me away. For this trip, though, for me, it was really about trust in God and having faith in God. I'm going to read because I'll probably get lost, sorry. I knew for quite some time that I wanted to go to Amari, and this year just happened to be the year. Looking back, there were times in the lead up to it, and whilst we were in Uganda, that I had to choose to believe that God had everything under control and trust that he would protect us. Just after paying our deposit, I thought it would be a good idea to look at the internet about what was Uganda like, what I should be thinking about and looking at. And I went to the Department of Foreign Affairs website. Not a good idea. It's important. It tells you what has happened. It tells you what could happen. And basically it said, reconsider your need to travel to the region. Not the best thing, given that I have an amazing imagination. Over the next few days, I pretty much questioned what I was doing. I asked Rob if he was still happy to go, given the information that I had, and he was like, oh, I'll go get shot in America. All right, then. So he was pretty cool with it. I spoke with Mum. I basically rationalised the pros and cons, why we shouldn't go. I even went through the thoughts of, oh, well, if we die, we die. I was pretty well prepared with all of our finances, had that all sorted and everything like that. Our work colleagues, and probably because of the work that we do, weren't very supportive in the fact that we'd get back alive. They were very encouraging to the intentions that we had and what we were doing, but comments of, oh, well, this is the last time I'll see you. Have fun. You know, people die over there. Yeah, well, whatever. So that was that. Initially, I was a bit like, "What am I doing?" And we then began to sort of laugh off the comments that people were making. I remember in our last group meeting, we were kindly told that there had been terrorist threats against large Western groups in Kampala. But don't worry, we'll be okay. In my head, I went, what am I doing? That's the last thing I need to hear. Terrorist attacks in the place that we were staying. How many days are we staying in Kampala? Ooh, as soon as we can get out, we can go. And finally, in the few days before we left, I heard about the Ebola breakout in Africa. Oh! Knowing that Ebola is deadly and it can spread, I'm like, I'm going to Africa. What am I doing? I'm like, I have travel insurance. I could probably pull out. That would be all right. But being a good health professional, I went onto the WHO website and it was okay. It was in West Africa. I also found out where West Africa was. It was... Hey, it is still nearby. We are in the same continent where Ebola is, should I say. With that in mind, though, I did manage to acquire some masks, just in case. And when we got to Amari, my secret of having masks for Ebola and also my carry-on luggage-sized medical suit equipment was kind of picked on quite a lot, particularly from Graham. But it was a good thing we didn't get Ebola because I only had 4 masks and Rob and I were getting 2 of them. They didn't last long too much anyway, but it was a little bit of protection. But we made it to Amari and we made it home safe. There were many times before I left that I could have said I'm not going. There were times during our trip I could have allowed my thoughts, imaginations, feelings to take over. I had to really press in and focus on what had been placed on my heart and trust and believe that God had it all under control. One thing that really helped me through the trip was the Hillsong song, Oceans Where My Feet Fail. The words in particular... Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper that my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. These words had meaning and comfort for me. The journey of this work party from the time we decided to go until we were home has been amazing. It's been great to assist with a project that I know is and will be greatly appreciated, to spend time with the children and in particular our sponsor child Immaculate, and to get to know and work with a fantastic bunch of people. And I encourage you all, if you're interested, to go.
Guys, I know we're going late, but I want to finish. Doug, come up, please. Doug is Joyce's brother, Rita's uncle, and he's got an amazing testimony. We're going to miss out on communion today, okay? We won't do communion.
Well, if they had have asked me why I wanted to go to Amari before we left, I would have said it's to see my niece, Marita. So we get to Amari. The next day she takes off to Kampala, and she came back the day before we left. $4,000 to see her for about 2 afternoons. Oh, well. While I was pushing the wheelbarrow around, it gave me a lot of time to think. When I was laying down in bed for 2 days with gastro, I had a lot of time to think. And the good part about that is you don't just go through life. You actually reflect on it. You think, what is God teaching you? What are you learning from this? I came down to 4 things, and I hope you don't mind, but I'll just quickly go through them. The first thing was, when I thought about what we'd been through, it was the poverty. Now, I'm not naive. I know we've got poverty in Australia. You know, I've seen docos and so forth. I know there's poverty. But as we drove out of Kampala on the way to Amari, and you drive out, it seems to go on for mile after mile, and it was just little more than slum areas. And I don't know, maybe it was millions of people there. And it wasn't just the sight, it was the smell. It smelt like a tip. And I felt myself thinking, this is where these people live. And then I accompanied Elise. Sorry, I hope I don't tear up too much. When we went to visit her sponsor families. And certainly the second one, they were so poor. And yet they had it within to give us a little gift of biscuits and a little thing of soft drink. It was all they had. They didn't have an income, but they scraped together that. They were so thankful. I think Elise at one stage said to our interpreter, "I think Doug's about to cry." Well, I did. But you go through something like that and you realise life will never be the same again. You cannot experience something like that and then just go back to your nice Western middle class lifestyle. If you've got a heart at all for God, you will change. When I got to Amari and saw what was done, I was struck by three things. I realised that a work, particularly a pioneering work, needs a figurehead with vision, with drive, with commitment. Of course, that was Marita. I realised that a work like that needs the support of the locals. It can't be just something that Westerners dump on other people and then leave. They have to embrace it. As you saw from all those photos, the locals were embracing what Marita was doing. But I also realised how vital the support and the help was from the people and churches back at home. Marita could not do what she's doing without you people, without your prayers, without the finances, with all the love and support that you give her. You are as much a part of this work as she is. The third thing I discovered as I was lying there, particularly while I had gastro, I was just lying there feeling a bit helpless, was the challenge of Marita's life. The crushing need of what's going on in the world. And I started to reassess my own life, what I had achieved. And now that I'm sort of 60, getting to, you know, the latter third of my life, what am I now going to do with whatever time God has given me? In our church, I'm the lay preacher there, and I've been working my way through Philippians with our church. It's started in September last year. We've just got to the end of chapter 3, so you can figure out what sort of detail we're going through it. But of course, Philippians, the centre of Philippians is that great hymn where Christ is upheld as our example. You know, have this attitude in yourself that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. That is our example. That is the standard we live to. Life lived in total obedience to God, willing to be so humble even to death, and it's done for the sake of other people. Paul gives Christ as our example. Then if you know Philippians, he then gives Timothy, he gives Epaphroditus, he gives himself as an example. When I read those chapters now in Philippians, I add Marita's name. She is my example of what it means to live a life dedicated to other people. And finally, can I say, while I was out there, now I've never been ordained, but I'm a lay preacher. I've done theological study. I've got a degree. I've got a diploma. I've done postgraduate study in theology and biblical studies. So what did I do in Uganda? Shoveled dirt, pushed a wheelbarrow, I slashed grass, I stacked bricks. We have to acknowledge God has given us natural abilities. We know that God has given us spiritual gifts. He has put a calling in our lives. We acknowledge that. We live as we think that he wants us to live, using those things he's given us. But you know what? They don't limit us. Sometimes you might find yourself doing things that, to be honest, you have no gifting in. I am not a practical person. I failed woodwork in second form. My job is caring for people with intellectual disability. I don't do manual labour as such, although I keep myself fit with cycling and walking. But sometimes God puts you into a place where you find yourself doing things you're not well credited to do, and then he gives you the ability and the drive to do it. We can't limit ourselves to what we think God has already done for us. And if I can just reinforce what others have said, halfway through the mission, I texted some people back home. I said a few things, and then right at the very end I said, should have done this 20 years ago. So if you're at all thinking of doing something like this, please prayerfully consider it and see where God may take you.
As we come to a close, we will be doing a work party next year. We haven't finalised what we will be doing, but we will be at the same time. You can register your interest with me or one of the others. I want to honour the work party that went this year. I want to thank them for just the incredible teamwork, the sacrifice of money. I want to thank you as a church for what you're doing. We, church people, have given, I think, since Marita started over there, about 750,000. If we said right now we need 750,000, our eyes would glass over and we'd say it's too big. But remember, the sponsoring of one child or even a third of a child is how you can help. So if you want to sponsor a child, we need another 30 children sponsored for next year. There's a whole lot of stuff that God is doing which we haven't got time to share, but we know that God is a faithful, awesome God, and we are just so proud of being a part of something that God is doing over there and being able to partner. I thank Deb and Carol and friends of Amari that believed in the vision right at the start and have done such an amazing job. I want you to continue to pray for Amari and continue to see it, that this is our hands and our feet going out and helping. And I really do honour you and thank you so much. Sorry we've taken a bit longer. Sorry, Rob, that it's gone over time, but it was you that took the time talking. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord God, that you're in charge of all things. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to work with an amazing lady. But, Lord, that amazing lady grew in our place and caught a vision here. And, Lord, I believe that she's replicating what you're doing on the ground here over there. And so, Lord, we just continue to lift up Amari, continue to pray for Amari, continue to hedge Amari around, Marita around, Jazz around, the staff around. And, Lord, I just thank you for just the incredible opportunity of being a part of something incredible. I thank you for the team. I thank you for the friendships and the love that has been birthed that will never go away, for the experiences that we've had. But I also thank you for the future and what you're going to do. Lord, we just give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.